Good morning. Welcome to all, especially our guests who join us here today for the Madeleine, for the offering of this Mass on the feast of the exaltation or triumph of the cross. My thanks again on the behalf of my brother Dan and all of our family for your prayers in these recent weeks with our sister-in-law, with Linda's suffering and death from pancreatic cancer. There is a memorial service for her yesterday in Oklahoma City, and my thanks to Monsignor Gear, who substituted for me last night at Mass. Please remember they have our stewardship fair in the parish hall right after this Mass to see all the different events and things that are going on, a chance for you to know about them, and if you wish, also to volunteer and be part of that. Also, we have registration for our religious ed program that begins next Sunday. I'll be available to hear confessions this Tuesday evening from 6 to 7 and on Wednesday from 5:30 to 6. Bishop Slattery has asked that the following brief message be read from the pulpit at every Mass throughout the diocese this weekend. As most of you know, the devil worshippers who have planned to celebrate a black Mass in Oklahoma City have returned the consecrated host which they planned to desecrate. However, they are going ahead with their plans to offer this blasphemy next Sunday night, September 21st. The public worship of the devil legitimizes horrific abuse and normalizes acts of shameful degradation. It brings the dark powers of the enemy into the open and poses a spiritual danger to every one of us. To counter this sacrilege, I ask that a Eucharistic holy hour at 7 p.m. be held in every parish next Sunday night. I encourage as many as you can to pray this hour in reparation for this blasphemy offered to our Lord by the event in Oklahoma City. Bishop Slattery also goes on to say that he himself will lead an outdoor Eucharistic procession at Holy Family Cathedral beginning at 7 p.m. if anyone should find that time and place more convenient. So we'll be hosting here next Sunday night a holy hour in the church from 7 to 8. And we encourage all to come and to pray. Recently had another eye exam. I go down the street to the Harrell Eye Clinic. My eyes, particularly at my age, need a periodic adjustment. I have one eye that is basically set with my contact lenses to see at a distance, and the other one to see up close. That there is a trade-off that has to be made. Either I can see at a distance well or up close well, but the middle distance at times is a little not as sharp in focus. It's probably the best option available to me. So there might be times in which if you're speaking to me and you're several feet away and if I bring my hand up like this, it's not because I'm trying to be annoying. It's because there's two of you in front of me or trying to be two of you in front of me and I'm trying to reduce you just one in front of me. Now, that is an improvement. Before I had my most recent prescription several years ago before I had insurance to cover eye care, I had to go a long time between eye exams, and so I sometimes would have to turn my head and with my left eye to be reading the prayers at Mass. But having your eyes periodically checked and having whatever prescription that is needed, whether contact lenses or laser surgery or glasses, all is that needed, because when we do have that done, when our eyes are brought back into focus, when I walk out of that clinic, I always go, wow, everything looks so much better and clearer and more in focus. I can see clearly, finally. And seeing clearly is essential ourselves to seeing the world and seeing Christ. This day, September the 14th, marks on the calendar of the church what we call the Feast of the Exaltation, or sometimes also called the Triumph of the Cross. Because it falls on a Sunday, it takes the place of the normal Sunday liturgy. That's why the prayers are different, and the readings are different, and also the vestments are different. They're red for the blood of Christ on the cross. It commemorates the date in the year 320 AD that some believe that the relics of the true cross of Jesus were discovered while there was excavations going on in Jerusalem to build the Church of the Holy Sepulchre on the site of the crucifixion and burial and resurrection of Jesus. Now, whether one sees this as a pious story or something based more in historical fact, it doesn't take away from the significance of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. Go without it, without seeing that clearly, we can't bring the world and ourselves into clear focus. And especially understanding Jesus. We're today John's Gospel, a meeting with between Jesus and Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is an interesting figure in John's Gospel. He is a Pharisee, one of the guys that we usually think are the chief opponents of Jesus. And they're usually on the receiving end of much of his criticism and critique. But Nicodemus, at least, it seems to be favorable to Jesus and comes to speak to him more than once. In speaking with him, Jesus makes reference to one of the more interesting events in the Old Testament. It's when the people of Israel are on the Exodus out of slavery in Egypt into the freedom of the promised land led by Moses. And this long journey in the desert, they're grumbling about this wretched food, as they put it. Well, the wretched food is the bread from heaven, the manna that God is giving them in the desert to keep them alive. But because of their grumbling, they're complaining against God and Moses. So as a result, they're plagued by venomous snakes. They repent, and in order to be healed, God commands Moses to mount a bronze image of a snake on a pole for the people to see. And it seems to be a contradiction in one of those Ten Commandments about don't make carved or graven images to worship. But it works. In a reflection on the meaning of this event, Monsignor Charles Pope, he's the priest in the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., sees that by rejecting the bread from heaven, the people are rejecting God. They are choosing, and every time we reject God, every time we don't choose God, we're choosing something else, a false idol, a false God of our own making. Maybe that should be a hint to us as Catholics, because we receive not the manna in the desert, we receive the true bread from heaven, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ in the Eucharist. So we should not take that gift lightly or see it boring, but receive it with great gratitude and joy. But in looking upon that image of the snake, what's happening is, Monsignor Pope says, is that it lets the people look into the depths of their sin to clearly see it, that their fears, their choices, and when they do, they repent and they're healed. Jesus goes on to tell Nicodemus that the Son of Man, meaning he, Jesus, will be lifted up, meaning on the cross, so that all who believe in him may have eternal life. Because on the cross, particularly a crucifix, we're not presented with a type of ornament or a symbol of mere religious affiliation. We're challenged to see something far deeper. Instead, in a crucifix, we are confronted with the image of our sin, our failings, our anxieties, our dysfunctions, our fears. That's what puts Jesus on the cross, not God. The crucifixion is not the act of a cruel deity that demands the blood of his son be shed to appease his anger. That's not the message of the Gospels. That's not the message that we as the church proclaim and are called to live. Rather, the crucifixion is a supreme act of divine love. All the cruelty, hate, fear, and sins of the world, they're displayed in Jesus' passion, in his betrayal by one of his apostles, in his fear and suffering in the agony in the garden, of his torture, of his crucifixion, death, and burial. All that is clearly displayed in the crucifixion. Because everything that we fear the most, suffering, pain, loss, humiliation, hatred, rejection, and death, they're all displayed in the body of Jesus on the cross. There for us to clearly see and to repent and to be healed. You know, it's obvious that at the Madeleine we have a unique corpus or body of Christ on the crucifix. One that I understand that when this church was commissioned, that it was seen as rather avant-garde, maybe isn't the right word, but kind of really pushing the envelope, maybe, and off-putting, because it depicts very clearly the suffering of Jesus on the cross. It's a original work of art. You'll not see another one like it in any other church. And even to this day, I've had people tell me, like, well, I've gone to the Madeleine a couple of times, but that Jesus on the cross, he just creeps me out too much. But it's not there to creep us out, but to confront us with the reality of our sin, but also the reality of God's divine mercy. For in the cross, Jesus, God the Son, freely accepts this cross. As St. Paul says to us in this letter, he writes to the group of Christians in the city of Philippi, He's quoting probably an early Christian hymn used at baptism. But instead of using power and force to save the world, and remember Jesus tells Nicodemus he's come not to condemn the world but to save it, rather is in humility and powerlessness that the world is saved. Pride and aggression, both ours and Satan's, are undone by the cross and resurrection of Jesus. Monsignor Pope goes on to say that in it, the cross, humility triumphs over pride. Love triumphs over hate. Light triumphs over darkness. And to understand God, to understand ourselves, how we see the world, how we see ourselves living in the world as the church, we must see this clearly. You know, St. Francis of Assisi had a great affection for Jesus when he was the most powerless. The Son of God is most powerful when he is most powerless, that meaning in the crib and on the cross. St. Catherine of Siena saw the cross as the tree of life. And often we see some of the saints in religious art that they're depicted holding a crucifix. It's not because it makes for a nice picture. It's rather that they spent a great deal of time in prayer and contemplation and meditation on the meaning of the cross and resurrection. To see things clearly. This is the reason that we display the crucifix prominently in our churches and hopefully also in our homes. Not as a tasteful decoration, but to clearly see the infinite depth of God's merciful love, that divine mercy offered us by Christ and in his cross and resurrection. To see and understand why we begin and end our prayers with the sign of the cross. Why we trace the image of the cross on those to be baptized. On those receiving the sacrament of the sick, that consecrated oil anointing the forehead and the hands, done in the sign of the cross. Because only in the cross and resurrection can we see the effect of our sins as well as God's mercy, calling us to repentance and new life. Only in the triumph of the cross can we clearly see, understand, and live the words of this ancient Christian hymn. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.